with that one.
You ready when I'm ready?
Yep.
Okay, right on.
How you been?
Very good.
You look relaxed.
Sort of.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the Thursday, July 7th meeting of the Orange County Parks Commission. We'll start with a roll call.
Chair Kuz.
Here.
Vice Chair Shawver. Commissioner Ashland. Commissioner Wellborn.
Here.
Commissioner Hansen.
Here.
Commissioner Mueller.
Here.
We have quorum.
Excellent, thanks. All right, now we have time for the public participation portion of the meeting. This is the time where members of the public can address the commission on items within the commission's jurisdiction. If you have comments on anything that's actually on the agenda, please reserve those comments for when we come to those items. So I'm going to, there's cards, but don't let that prevent you from coming up. We just prefer you fill them out so we can put it in the minutes. So Greg Stone. From the Orange County Modelers.
Orange County Modelers, I didn't want to put association, but
got it.
Yeah, the long family.
Yes, welcome back, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Just wanted to give you a quick update on our activities and some other things. Certainly we're enjoying the site, we're doing everything we can to maintain it, keep it mowed, safe, and reduce the brush. It can be used as a staging area for fire authority if necessary, as they have in the past. Just some of the other activities we're doing. We did help with the Collegiate Design Built Fly program, administered nationwide under the AIAA. We support the local universities, so UCI was a competitor this year, so we provided access for them to use the site to do testing and flight testing. They went back and competed at the Textron facility in Wichita this year, so. All of that is getting underway. We'll see more activities from them, Cal State Fullerton, other organizations as time goes on. We did hold a pattern competition, extended beyond our organization, brought in pilots from really mostly around Southern California. We do all of our events as benefits, so we raised $500 for CHOP Children's Hospital at that event. We have held our annual Warbirds and Classics event. Incredible scale model aircraft out at the field in June. Still waiting for a tally on the results of that. Again, that will be another charity donation. That one likely is aimed towards Semper Fi Fund at Camp Pendleton. We've already scheduled our annual Toys for Tots event. It's Saturday, December 10th. So we do a one-day event out there. We will cook hot dogs where everybody comes out. Try and get everybody to bring toys and donations. As we have pretty much every year, we deliver those to the Silverado Fire Station. Pretty much fill up their office in one visit. So a few truckloads of stuff, lots of boxes. So just glad to support those events. One other note, I may not be here as frequently because I have also been elected to a director or executive position with our national organization, the Academy of Wild Aeronautics. So I'm going to start traveling a little more with respect to that. And just doing what we can to spread not only model aviation, but the educational aspects as it relates to STEM through middle, high school, collegiate, steering students into engineering careers, aerospace, anything that furthers that. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Anyone else want to speak on general items? You must all be waiting for the bylaws discussion. That's right. Okay, great. We'll close that portion of the hearing, and then we'll move on to the consent calendar, which is basically just the approval of the May 5th minutes. Anybody got a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
All right. Motion approved and second. And Mueller, Hansen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Passed. All right. Moving right along to the discussion calendar, and that would be the long-anticipated bylaws conversation.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So item A on your agenda is the amendment to the Parks Commission bylaws. Last year, the board approved a county bylaws template for all of the county advisory bodies. And in your staff report, there is a red line attachment that sort of details out what those specific changes are. Most of them are really minor and just confirm practices that your commission already has in place. Things like appointment of commissioners and roles of officers, the duties of the commissioners, including non-discrimination and notification of absences, and when you're supposed to adopt meeting schedules and elect your officers. There are other more substantial changes that include defining the structure of standing and ad hoc committees as well as subcommittees. The definition, though, is very broad, and it's not a requirement for you to form those committees, so it does not affect your trail subcommittee in any way, shape, or form. They can continue to function as is. Board of Supervisors approval, another substantial change, is going to be required for any changes to your bylaws moving forward in the future. The board actually, earlier this year, requested that these bylaws templates be adopted by all county advisory bodies because they wanted to see something put in place that ensures that a sitting district supervisor has the ability to concur or not concur with an appointment of one of their constituents to another board member's seat. So that specific language has been included in the bylaws template. This is only applicable if a supervisor appoints or reappoints somebody. So for your commission, there is no change at this time to your membership.
So can I ask a question about that? So why would a supervisor appoint somebody who lives in a different district to that supervisor's seat?
Can't answer to what the reason behind that is.
But I guess how could they do it? I thought it was already in the bylaws that they could only appoint from their own district.
It was not in the bylaws that was a requirement, and one of the things I think that had come up was because of the changes in the district. Mm-hmm. People were appointed that were previously within the district and then weren't when there were changes to the district boundaries, right? So that's where the initial conversation came up.
That's already handled under how it works today. They can serve out the remainder of their appointment.
Correct.
But at that point, then they can no longer serve under that district number. Yeah. They would have to move into the district they're currently living in.
Well,
we have that issue at OCTA right now.
Yeah.
We have a director who is serving in the 5th district, but he's no longer living in the 5th district. But he gets to serve out the remainder of his term until it's over, and then he would have to go in and try to get appointed through the 3rd district.
Yeah, what I would mean is...
So why would we have to do anything different then?
Basically, we don't. The idea was they wanted to put into place a method in which a supervisor could choose to do that and then get concurrence from the other supervisor, right? So that wasn't, as I understand it, that was not in the bylaws. That was just another thing that they wanted to include. For example, if somebody in the 2nd district wanted to have somebody from the 1st district, all they have to do is ask the 1st district supervisor, and if they get concurrence, then they can appoint them. So it's just formalizing that process. Not that anybody would have to do it, it's just if they wanted to, they just wanted to have the procedure.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as your question about why would someone do it, we can't answer.
How could you do it? Because I thought it was already set up. If you have to be in the district you're appointed to.
That is actually not explicitly called out in your bylaws and in many other bylaws for other county commissions. Just to wrap this item up, the item is anticipated to be reviewed under an omnibus ASR, a Jetta staff report that will be going to the board sometime later this month or early next month.
I don't know what that means.
Omnibus, it's a collection of a variety of different commissions.
Catch all.
The idea, Commissioner Hansen, is that not just your commission, but all the commissions that are with all the departments are going to be put into one staff report and presented as one item for like a blanket approval. That's what's going to be.
So the recommended action for this item is recommend that the Board of Supervisors adopt the amended Orange County Parks Commission bylaws. I'm happy to answer any further questions.
John, I got one more question.
Go for it.
Now with the answer, why do I have a conflict of interest clause in this when I don't actually make a decision on any contract at all? There's the supervisors. They have a conflict, not the commissioner.
So the Board of Supervisors adopted this bylaws template that sort of has a blanket set of clauses that they're expecting all of the boards and commissions under the county umbrella to adopt. We did ask county council before coming into this meeting if there were any recommendations on any changes, if that was something that we could implement. Our council did say that it was not something that we could implement because the board had already approved it. But as this ASR goes to the board, if, let's say, your commission decides that you're unsupportive of this item, we can certainly include that in the staff report language that goes to the board.
Well, I've got a problem with this because if I am no different than any other lobbyist to the board of supervisors. Any other lobbyist can lobby any commissioner over any item. Now you put me in a position that I have a financial interest in it. I can't talk to a supervisor about it because I'm conflicted out. Legally, I don't have a conflict because I'm not making the decision. I'm not the decision maker in this. So I don't understand why you're going to do this to city commissioners. You're actually taking away a right that somebody else would have, that they should have the equal right because they're not the voting member. That's like telling a staff member
which is the one you're talking to you an issue with?
It's just all conflict of interest.
The whole thing.
Do we have it that it can come up on the dealing of Bob?
I believe so.
Probably not in a timely manner.
Okay. Bail.
You don't have a particular like A, B, C, or D, it's the whole section?
It's a conflict of interest is Article 12.
It's Article 7.
I see Article 7, but some of these things we have to do anyway. Like E, we have to do Form 700s anyway. We have to do F, we have to do...
But that's already, we already have that.
Right, true.
This is just, I saw this, it's all brand new. Usually a red line would probably have the changes in it, but this is all red line, so...
I didn't like that either, to be honest with you. What's the point of showing the red without the strike through of the previous stuff?
Oh, it's all brand new.
It's all brand new.
It's a new template.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the black stuff was there before?
Correct.
And that was the only stuff that was there before?
So we didn't have a conflict of interest clause before.
Right, I got that.
And so I'm not really sure. I was thinking, especially for David.
I want to play with that for just a moment. So we start talking about electric bikes out in the...
That's what I was going to talk about. So I think you should have a right to participate.
So can I talk to Supervisor Wagner about that?
Well, I mean, my understanding is that you would be allowed to, speak to the supervisors in the same fashion that you can now. I don't know if the clause... prohibits you from doing that. Certainly, we did not.
So why
we didn't cover that in our conversation with county council.
So yeah. Why would he have the opportunity to have that conversation here?
Yeah.
He can have it offline with the supervisor.
Correct.
But he can't have it as a commissioner, right? You have to be acting in his own private.
I've been asked to wait in the other.
I know. I was thinking about this because I thought I had.
This is a perfect one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no. I mean, he should be able to have this conversation because he's not the decision maker. And he should be able to give input. He's actually, you could almost call him an expert witness on it, because he does, he's involved in this industry. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't he be able to have that conversation?
Where does it say he can't?
Because the conversation is about e-bike, and he has...
Where in here does it say
as a
resident of Orange County, why can't he talk to one of our supervisors about a policy matter?
So what about here at the meeting is what he just talked about also.
Here.
So there's two things here. There's one in me going, buying a cup of coffee or whatever, and Wagner and I are talking.
Yeah.
Commissioner's reference is me being able to have input as an expert in the arena while we're discussing it.
I don't think it says you can't do it in this meeting
because you have a financial interest, Dave.
That's no different.
He's saying that I'm not a decision maker here. In essence, the supervisors are.
You're still an appointed official and an employee of the county. As I unfortunately found out, to be on this commission, I had to get a new employee number. So we are officials.
Okay,
as part of the
so
challenge.
You're saying that I do have a financial potential interest. You're saying I don't because they're the ones in vote.
That's right. That's where this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't agree.
Because technically you could actually make the argument he's talking to Supervisor Wagner or any other supervisor.
Yeah.
He's still a commissioner here and it creates a conflict because he's trying to influence that board.
No. Well, I know
no, that that's no different than having that conversation here.
Okay, let me give you another example. Okay, so it's getting me in the weeds for some people that maybe not familiar with land use, but like you have a planning commission, right? A planning commissioner's decision on a CUP could be final if it's not appealed to you, right? But on a general plan amendment and a zone change, their decision is never final. But let's say that under the property restrictions, let's say the planning commissioner lived across the street from a property that would have a zone change. Mm-hmm. They couldn't vote on that under the current state FPPC rules. And they can't vote on it, but it's still final. It's still decided by the city council anyway. You're not saying that he should be able to vote on it just because the city council's got final decision, do you? Are you saying that? Because we can have a policy here that we all know that we don't have any final decisions here, but we can influence the supervisor's decision by virtue of our actions here.
Right. But that doesn't... But if I don't... There's difference in financial in which...
Right. The financial test is the
which big one. The financial test is what I'm talking about for him.
Correct.
Because I live across the street from somebody that's
really cut and dry.
Yeah.
Because there's a rule.
You can't do those things. Right. You got to stay out of those. This is very different.
Right.
Because now, even though I'm in the industry, I should be able to talk about what's going on in that industry.
Right.
Because I'm going to make a recommendation to the board.
I don't think this is any, unless you could cite, and I don't want to split hairs, but I don't think unless you could cite a specific problem that's.
But it was the financial interest piece.
Because another example, I mean, it's a lot of these things when it comes to conflict is really a decision for the public official to make. So, for example. For 30 years, I've done cell towers as a career, and I had a council member abstain on a Verizon wireless site once because they own stock in Verizon. Now, after the fact, I'm like, you own so little stock, it's not going to make a difference. But that was his decision as a council member just to do that. That's maybe better safe than sorry. A lot of this stuff. Like it's up to you. The county council can't tell you yes or no to whether you could vote on an e-bike issue. Because you could make the argument that while you own bike shops, you're not going to see substantial revenue increase, but that's up to you.
If Orange County Parks allowed e-bikes, I would become so wealthy overnight, I wouldn't be on this commission.
Then you shouldn't vote on it.
No, I'm just kidding. The relationship and the connection to that is so small.
Exactly.
So in those scenarios, since it is that small, I think it still is better for me to remove myself from there so that the public doesn't ever point a finger if it goes one way or the other. So I think that's a safe bet at that.
You should.
I'm telling you, that's the way you should recuse. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My point is,
okay,
in a committee like this, should we have a conflict of interest clause like that, precluding him from being able to participate?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's my question. Some other commissions, they're going to be a little bit different from us. And, you know,
can we just approve electric bikes right now in the park and just get this over with?
Okay. So,
anyway, I mean, this is my question. It was more a question towards county council.
Yeah.
Why is this here? And I know you can't answer that question tonight.
Okay.
It's my fault because I was on vacation. I understand why it's there. That's where I am on this.
And
I don't really understand.
And
I just want to make sure that we can work more effectively.
I don't think we're
and
gonna
get information out of the public. E-bikes is a big deal right now. I mean,
true.
I don't know if you pay attention to what's going on in my city down south. We're working hard on this, and there's a lot of problems, and I would like to see.
And there's a lot of benefits.
Well, my problems are
that's not
educational
issue.
Problems.
Anyhow.
But anyway,
I would just like to see
get a response from county council on why we have to have this. And I would like it before I vote, because like you said, as soon as we vote on this, any change we want to make to these bylaws has to go back to them anyway. Right now, we're not under that, right?
Can you, Joe, tell me, I mean, with any specificity you can, which particular stanza is the one that's giving you the most grief?
It's basically section B.
B. Okay.
Yeah, and that's really where it comes down to. You should not vote nor attempt to influence any other commission member on a matter under consideration by the commission or its committees or subcommittees. I mean, consider your family members. And number two, it says that would provide direct financial benefit to such member or the immediate family or such member. Because that's where our vote does not influence. It goes up to the supervisors. Now, we're advisory to them, so there is some question, and your planning commission was pretty close to it, but I think it's a little different down here.
I think
this isn't, that's a financial.
Yeah, I think.
If it was a distance thing that I had to be so far away from them, that's fine. But on the financial side, we're not really making the decision. That's going to be made up there. If I want to lobby that supervisor, I can do it.
Correct.
Can I not? Because now I'm a commissioner.
I think you could.
Well, that's the question.
But you couldn't vote.
This is correct.
But you couldn't vote. I think item number three is the one that gives me comfort that this is all consistent. In my opinion, this is consistent with everything I've learned in the last 25 years of serving as a public official, that this, we are, even though we are not the final vote, we still are subjected to the same conflict of interest rules as the as an elected. That's the way I've always thought, because we can influence the final outcome. That's my take. So I have a quick question on something that's not mentioned, unless I can't read, is that did the former bylaws have like an automatic kickoff policy for like consecutive meetings or anything like that?
No, not that I'm aware of.
We don't have anything like that.
No.
Okay. So I thought there was something I heard years ago that if you miss like four in a row, that
I've never been aware of that.
Okay, so that's not in here yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing, if I can, Chair, I believe the options today, and unfortunately for your request, I don't believe that we'll be able to get you a responsible county council in time for a vote, right? The options today are like a vote to recommend this or a vote to not recommend this. If you do choose to not recommend it as a body, you can include like the reason why that there wasn't the recommendation, and we can pass it along in the ASR that goes to the board. But our task is that we will, after this meeting, report like it was approved or it wasn't approved, and here's the
bottom line. Yeah. We could table it, do nothing on
it. Yeah, in which case I believe that we would still move forward with the ASR going to the board.
Yeah, the board's still gonna,
well, they're gonna
do what they do.
They're gonna move forward whether we say yes or no.
Right.
But my point is, if we can say we're gonna table it.
Right, yeah, that's what I say. The choice doesn't include like
that. What I'm saying is the board can do whatever they want regardless of what we do.
Yeah.
And so that's where this becomes.
Commissioner Coos?
Yeah.
When we get a moment.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, I had asked previously about how many commissioners does it take to get something on the agenda. I didn't see that in there. Is that not
silent?
Is that something separate that's not covered under that?
Template.
Yeah,
so that's not part of that.
Okay.
So it sounds like you're going to have three votes to do this anyway tonight. So I'm not going to beat this to death. But I think that's when we're about to. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because of what you said. Any change we want to make going forward has to be approved by the board, by the supervisors now. We don't have that right now. And so even if this agency or this commission said, we're going to vote no on this tonight because we don't like that provision, that we should be able to make adjustments to our own bylaws, we shouldn't have to have the supervisors do that for us. They're going to move it forward so we don't care anyway, right?
Well, I can't comment on like what they would say.
Well, they could.
Yeah, they could move forward. They could choose
just to impose it on the same.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I know.
Yeah. All right. Unless there's any more discussion, I'll entertain a motion. Or I'll make one.
Okay.
I motion that we approve the staff recommendation, the bylaws as recommended.
I'll second for discussion.
Is there any discussion?
I have my own trepidations on some of the new language that some wizard at County Council and CEO's office came up with. But as Commissioner Joe just mentioned, it's likely to happen no matter what. So it's the way the county works, in my view.
Well, I would vote no also. So I would vote no at this point after hearing the conversation, just to let it be a mute deal that I think we still would like more feedback to understand it better. And most of the time we get something, it seems like it's already decided on already. And, you know, it's already going to go to vote. And so I think you brought up a couple interesting points. I don't think we actually need to vote on it.
Well, we're gonna vote.
Excuse me. I don't think we need to send a yes or a no to it, and that would be what would happen if I vote no and you vote no.
We'll see.
Yeah, that would happen.
Okay.
If they vote yes. I mean,
that's correct. If they vote well, a yes and a yes, and so that's my stance.
All right. I'll do a roll call vote.
Chair Kuz?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilborn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
No.
Commissioner Mueller?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't pass. So, question. Is it 2 months from now when we have our next in-person meeting? If I wanted to see if we could break the tie?
We can discuss it between now.
So when does this go to the supervisors?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
The plan is for it to go either at the end of July or early January. Most likely.
Or early August.
August.
And we're on a field
trip. You can still do it on a field trip.
You could do it on the August 4th field trip.
The tentative date set today is July 26th.
We could actually have an agenda item on a field trip.
Could. There's a couple things that were being discussed right here. We can have an agenda item on a field trip, so we could discuss it then. The deputy director was suggesting was that the current schedule has it being heard by the board at the end of July, which would be before our next meeting, which was why I was responding. So that what we can do is that I can... we can discuss it. We can find out if and confirm that that's when it's going to the board. If it isn't going at the end of July, then we can have that discussion at the next meeting.
So I have a feeling it's going to be consent.
Well, I'd like to talk about it. Maybe we should play through another round. Like, does anybody want to offer a separate motion? If not, that's fine. Such as to approve striking this section or that section, whatever you want to do. You're a mayor, you know how this rolls.
Well, I don't see us changing our decision on it. I mean, I can make it strike Article 12, Section B, and then I didn't see where it was in there about where we have to have a vote of the supervisors to change our bylaws.
You'll be next.
I would just start all sections.
While you chew on making that motion,
Article 30.
Mr. Hansen. What's that?
So there was an ask earlier to have council explain to us why that is there. And so I think it's premature to make a motion on this when we really would like the advice of council, and maybe they can help us understand more. And you reference maybe reaching out, maybe get some information, which could help that if the meeting's not on the 26th, that we do talk about it on the 4th, because we are enlightened why this is in the rule book now.
To everyone's point that, I'm not sure we all agree on this, but I do understand the point of view that some of these decisions are already made for us. We still have our own job to do. So if you guys want to recommend a continuance and the supervisor's schedule be darned, that's fine here. That's fine too. So if someone wants to make a continuance for a month, 3 weeks, 2 months, it is what it is. And
I would say Article 13, I'd get rid of that all of them. That's where it's a requirement of the county.
Well, you're welcome to make that motion.
I don't know if that's going to change anything. Yeah. Do we want to go through this exercise and then they're going to vote on the 27th anyway, and they're not going to be able to get back to us? My real thing is I recommend we table it until we get a response from county council on conflict of interest. And, Article 13, why is that in there? Why do we need the county supervisors to approve our...
Well, that's fine. That's fine. If someone wants to make a motion to continue, and then I think staff's hearing the concerns, it seems to be centered around this one section, then...
Well, didn't we vote already?
We voted on my motion to approve. It failed. We need a motion to do something different, either continue or do something different.
So we'll just move on.
I don't think we'd be doing our job. We just ignore the item. We have to either.
Well, it failed. We didn't ignore it.
Well, does anybody want to make a motion to do something different? I mean,
why voted against it? Why would I do that? I got what I wanted.
Because that wasn't the motion. The motion wasn't to deny. My motion to approve was failed.
Well, right, and so my motion would have been.
It's not by default. You can make a motion to deny. Or you can make a motion to approve with recommendations.
But my point being is it's a deny. So,
well, I'll make a motion.
Okay, go for it.
I make a motion that we table this ask and that we get some information from council, and if we could make it in a timely manner, that it then gets in front, then we'll vote at a later date.
To a date certain? Which meeting are you talking about? The field trip?
The supervisors meeting. Because supervisors are maybe going to have the meeting prior on the 26th, and they may say yes or no to all of this to where our points mute anyways.
But if you're going to continue this item, we need to know to what meeting we're continuing.
Oh, to the 4th.
Is that our next scheduled meeting?
It's the field trip, which you can bring an agenda item to.
Okay, so Commissioner Hansen's
made it. Let me do it again.
Go for it.
Okay. So what did I say? No, I'm just kidding. So I make a motion that we table the discussion calendar item A, the commission bylaws agreement, to the August 4th field trip, which we can have an agenda item, and that we work on getting some clarity from county council to help us better understand primarily the section of section 12, A, B, and 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Do I have a second? To continue to August 4th. I'll second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, so you're not. Okay, so we have a motion to continue, which is approved to August 4th. Commissioner Mueller voting no on the continuance. Okay, thank you guys. Next item, we are going to something far less controversial, I hope.
Really?
The appointment of, there's two things. There's the subcommittee guideline amendments as well as member appointments and term extension. And so, Joanne, you want to break these into separate actions, correct?
Yes, I would like that.
Staff report, please.
Right, thank you. Matter of fact, this item also includes a meeting update. So before I get into the staff report itself, I'm going to hand it off to Jennifer Nagley, who's your Natural Resources Manager and also helps support the Trail Subcommittee for a quick meeting update.
Yes, good evening. So I'll be providing a brief update on the Trail Subcommittee meeting held on May 17th. There were two discussion calendar items on the agenda that included amendments to the Trail Subcommittee guidelines and a presentation on a trail use designation pilot project. For the first item, you'll be hearing about the proposed guideline changes from Joanne. For the second item, Utah State University gave a presentation on preliminary data analysis from the Trail Use Designation pilot project that encompassed use and direction changes on certain trails in the county park system. And the item was received and filed by the subcommittee. For other items, a moment was taken to acknowledge the passing of subcommittee member Diane Carter and to appreciate her many contributions to OC Parks and the community. With Diane's passing and the resignation of member Cindy Radovich, both of whom represented the equestrian community, it was noted that there are two current vacancies on the trail subcommittee for at-large members to be filled with appointments by the Parks Commission. Additionally, subcommittee member Virginia Weber is nearing completion of her first term and did express a desire to continue service. The anticipated appointments by the commission and approval to continue member Weber's service would result in all trail subcommittee positions being filled. And that concludes the trail subcommittee meeting update. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Any questions on that?
I have a question. On the member whose term is not expired, when is it expired?
September of this year.
Okay, and again, I didn't look at through the bylaws, I'm sorry. Can we appoint that going out for, sending out for
yes, applications? Term extensions are allowed for the guidelines of the trail subcommittee.
Okay, so we don't have to put it out there to the public, say, you know, we got another spot available. We may extend it, but we're okay with doing that.
Yep, it's allowable for up to 6 years.
Yes, 3 consecutive 2-year terms each.
Okay, so moving on to the trails guidelines.
Do you have another question?
I
go for it.
I heard Utah was doing a study on the trails. What were they studying?
They were looking at changes in trail use designation and direction on certain trails in the system. And the underlying goal was to determine if making any changes might reduce any changes in user conflict on the trails.
So same kind of conflicts. We've got bikes, we've got equestrian, we've got hike. We've got, is that kind of do it? Is there bird watching and is that it maybe? Maybe someone else?
That's it.
Yeah, and so they studied how all those groups get along.
Right, and if making any changes to the designation of trail use and any
and
directional
changes.
And so
they did that report, the report's done, the report's been turned in?
Not yet.
Okay, so can we get a copy of that report?
We'll have a presentation.
Yeah, so basically what Utah State University presented at the last trail subcommittee meeting was an overview presentation of the data that they have collected. So it was a PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the Trails Subcommittee website, on the OSA Parks page. So all the presentations
Thank
are there.
Thank you.
At the next Trails Subcommittee meeting, the Utah State University will have compiled the actual, the big
book.
That's what I call it, the big book of data, letting our Trails Subcommittee know what did they compile as
Great.
Far as the data. And then at the following trail subcommittee meeting, which will be the last subcommittee meeting of the year, so you have to think 4 times a year, will be the recommendations from the trail subcommittee
Thank you.
On that whole thing.
Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Pam, can you elaborate? Now, that study only focused on 3 regional parks, do I recall that correctly?
That is correct. So, yes.
Yeah, so it's limited in focus.
It's a pilot.
Very limited. So, yes, you're absolutely correct. Is that at Santiago Oaks, Laguna, Canyon and then
Lisa Wood. Thank you.
Just when I thought you weren't doing anything,
Excellent.
You do that, huh?
Because I've seen the signs up on those.
All right.
Next
part.
Thank you.
Good job, Michael.
Thank you.
The trail subcommittee guidelines are recommended to your commission for amendment. Many of the changes just really align the practices of the trail subcommittee with your current practices now. So that includes meeting at 6 p.m., allowing for some field trip opportunities there, changing their voting majority provision to line up exactly with what yours is, and designating an executive officer consistent with our practices and other county advisory bodies. That executive officer is going to be our Parks Division Manager. Again, the Trail Subcommittee did consider this at their May 17 meeting and voted to recommend it for your commission for approval. That's essentially it for that item. So I will pause here and if I could just read the recommended action to refresh your memory and I can open it up for questions on that piece.
Right, before you do that, quick question. If are the commissioners who are not on the committee notified in the email blast of when the meetings are, in case they're interested in sending it to the public?
At least 1 week before.
They go to all of us?
Yes, the whole agenda will go to you guys.
So maybe that would be a good one.
We had a little failure there.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing it.
I previously asked earlier this year if I could be notified at
the
trail subcommittee.
Let's make sure that happens.
Absolutely.
Don't forget us.
And I think that trail thing, when they can come as a member of the public.
Oh, no.
Yes, it can.
Listen, I went through this with my planning, with a financial review committee in my city.
Yeah.
You show up as a part, to a trail subcommittee meeting, if we get a quorum of this committee.
Oh, yes. That's true. That's true.
On that
good point. That's good.
Yeah.
So be very careful.
You're right, John. You're absolutely
right.
You've
got to count noses.
That's true.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
We will make sure your commission gets that agenda in advance.
All right, then. Do you want me to take these separately? Or do you want to take them all together?
Well,
go ahead.
So I don't know Deborah Ball. I don't know Susan Martin.
Yes, let me explain how that works. So the commission, the way it's worked in the last 5 or 6 years since you guys forced me to serve on this committee is that the chair and vice chair, so that's currently me and Dave Schauber, vet, interview, go through the applications, and then to save you from doing it, and then we make recommendations.
Okay.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. All right. If you'd like, I can go ahead and move on to that portion, if that's helpful.
Go ahead.
Or take good.
Well, go ahead,
do you,
yeah.
Well, do you want, just want to vote on the guideline changes?
Sure. Let's just take it separately.
Yeah.
So I'll
entertain. I'll move it.
Okay.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Nobody. Great. That's part one done. Go.
Thank you.
Go.
Okay, so the second portion is the membership. As Jennifer mentioned, we have two existing vacancies. So to clarify your questions just recently, there are 7 seats on the subcommittee. 2 of those seats are filled by commissioners that sit on your commission. Specifically, that's Chair Cruz and Vice Chair Shavers, serving similar roles, actually, in the trail subcommittee. We also have 1 biker, 1 hiker, and 1 hiker and environmentalist. So we do not have any equestrians right now on the trail subcommittee because of those vacancies. So Chair Cruz and Vice Chair Shaver reviewed applications, and because of the qualifications of these two specific people, Ms. Deborah Ball and Ms. Suzanne Martin, they have selected them and are recommending them for your approval. They are volunteers already out in, you know, habitat and wilderness areas. They are also equestrians, and they bike and hike, so very well-rounded folks. The mission of this trail subcommittee membership is to provide very balanced representation of the actual trail users that we have there. So having these two folks on the trail subcommittee will allow us some good representation for all our user groups. Additionally, the second part of that is a request to renew the term of the sitting subcommittee member, Virginia Weber. It is going to be a renewal for 2 years, and this is pursuant and consistent with the trail subcommittee guidelines.
Yeah.
Any answering questions?
And let me add, Ms. Weber's been a great participant. She's really been active. And well, I think one of these is from Yorba Linda, so they should get bonus points from you, right?
Don't
you?
Me? Yeah. I was 21 years in Yorba Linda, and now I'm Villa Park.
Oh, well.
Yeah. One of our retail stores is still in Yorba Linda, so I do love Yorba Linda.
Any questions on the process or the individuals?
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Do they need to fill out the form 700 like we do too, or is it one step down further where they don't need to do any of that?
Right. Okay. Since they are reporting to your commission, they do not need a form 700.
Thank you.
And they get no stipend either.
So just another quick question. So you mentioned that one's a biker, one's a runner, or a wall hiker, mm-hmm. and then are these. Is the one we're reappointing filling a specific position that it's required to be a bike position, or it's required to be? So we don't set it up like that.
We try to mix it up.
Gotcha.
But I can say this: I'm obviously proud of this commission. They like Steve Larson's a pro bike guy, but he leaves it at the door. They all are very good about seeing things holistically. It's really cool.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Because you said you did that, I thought, are they specific positions? And so when you apply for the subcommittee, you have to say, I'm an equestrian.
No, they're not designated seats in that.
Right. The goal initially was to be able to bring in the multitudes to pull it all together. So they have a quorum, so to say.
Yeah. We try to have a variety of views.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
So are we
then... Can I move all 3 of them at the same time?
I second.
Yes.
Yeah.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Excellent.
Perfect.
Inform them that they are now on the committee.
Yeah.
Subcommittee. All right, moving on.
What? There's more?
This might be controversial too. the field trip and meeting schedule amendments.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Thank you. So yes, this is the last item on your discussion calendar for tonight, and this was agendized in an effort to try to maintain the 3 field trips that you guys normally have scheduled every year. Last month we were not able to have a meeting, so this month was supposed to be a field trip month. However, since we did want to bring some items to your commission, we have scheduled a meeting instead. This item in particular attempts to restore the 3 field trips that were originally scheduled for you. Our proposal for August is to instead of doing a meeting on August 4th, we would do a field trip to Miles Square Park. There is a 93-acre expansion area at that park that is quite substantial, and being there on site is going to be a totally different experience than seeing it up on the board here.
Mm-hmm.
So we highly recommend it. It's an ongoing project already. As a bonus, we are actually having one of our concerts there. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is playing. Yeah, great band. And very much appreciated by the public. We have not had the opportunity in my recent memory to bring you guys out to a concert, so we are adding that onto this field trip as an optional activity for you guys, not something you have to stay for or stay long
for. So the field trip would be in the evening then?
Yes, it would be most likely at 5 p.m. that night.
Mm-hmm. So as long as we don't have to pay. Ooh, like everybody else.
Actually, there's free parking.
Everything's free.
I know. Okay.
Can I just add one thing to that too, Joanne? I think that the intention that we have, which would be great, is that the expansion area over at Mile Square we've been talking about for quite a while here, and I had a chance kind of earlier, a few months ago, to be on the property while they're working on it. It's quite a thing to see, and it really kind of resonates with like how much parkland is being added. Mm-hmm. So I think it's valuable. Just we can get out there before it's open to the public. We can check it out and then see a little bit of what Natalia's group's doing in conjunction with Public Works out there. It's pretty impressive. And then I'll cover a little bit later on the special events kind of update on what's going on with the concerts and the movies. But I anticipate this being an incredible attendance at this particular event. And so we will manage to set aside some parking and get you guys up there to see the band.
And there's beer and wine, right?
There's beer and wine. You can bring your own or you can purchase it there. Yeah. I highly recommend it on both counts, and I think it's one of those opportunities that presented itself where we wanted to not just keep the schedule for the field trips, but this is a really good opportunity for us to get out there and see some things we've been talking about. Thanks, John.
So can you go do that sling arrow thing again?
I think that may have been the last time out there.
And then the other recommended action for you this evening is to just adjust your schedule for the remainder of the year to still allow for the three field trips, but to sort of rotate out the field trip and meeting schedule so that we don't have back-to-back field trips. So that recommended action is to also change the September field trip to a regular meeting and the October meeting to a field trip.
I can't do that for
Excuse you?
I can't do October field trip. I'm sorry, I got a conflict. Yeah. That's okay.
Well, luckily, the field trip might move it off of the day of the meeting.
It says October 22nd.
Oh, is that?
It's
22. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're just a contrarian today. You're month. Looking for trouble.
The whole
just
month?
Looking for
yeah.
So we're going to take it personally. He's got the whole month book. Yeah.
That's when I turn this. That's my work really.
That's when I turn myself in.
Yeah, I would have a problem later in October too. Apparently, my daughter really wants to get married then. So well, got to go north.
Ask her to reschedule.
Yeah, right. That'll work.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve item C with the recommended actions. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Anybody? All right. Pass. All right. Ooh, that was rough. Okay, so let's get to the director's report and the rest in the last section.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. So this is a good news section right here. One of the things, I know we had provided this in your packet. There's a number of things that I can highlight a couple. But a couple things that aren't in your packet that I wanted to bring up. I had a chance yesterday, seems like a year ago, Commissioner Hansen and I were chatting briefly at an event. We have something going on Saturday. We're opening up like a new amphitheater. We've remodeled it over at O'Neill. It's going to be a cool little morning event. It's at 9 a.m. I've already invited Commissioner Hansen, but I'm inviting everyone else. There's going to be as far as I understand, we hear from our event staff and park staff that they are providing breakfast, they're providing coffee, there's going to be entertainment and like a hike at the thing, and there's also going to be a release of a bird from the Bird of Prey Center that's going to be done on site in the morning as well. So it's kind of a cool thing to see if you have a chance to come by, so I would recommend that. And then I believe Dr. Weldy will be there providing a brief presentation as well.
So just at the main entrance of O'Neill, there and start pointing
the
fingers.
The amphitheater is, they'll direct you,
But make sure you'll have someone there pointing.
You'll see the signs that say, "Event this way."
Yeah. Let me tell you folks are absolutely wonderful. When I go to an event and you got people there early in the morning and already the signs and the arrows are pointing, and I thank all of you
so much for caring for us and taking care of us. You're rock stars. And if only I had employees that worked as hard as all of you. And we do have a lot of them. We do have a lot of them. But I just always know that when I get there, it's going to be solid and we're going to be able to be taken care of. And I thank you very much for that.
Well, and Commissioner Hazard, I appreciate that too. We take a lot of pride in being able to move people through and get them where they need to go.
Yep.
And we've learned. I know that some of our park rangers joke about being parking rangers because that's what
we converted a couple of them yesterday.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We did deputize some people to be out in the parking lot.
Park ranger, parking ranger.
Yeah.
Is it really that different?
Well, I think Ev is here and he was doing parking duty just yesterday. So.
White gloves and whistle.
Yeah.
What time did O'Neill just say? 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. 9 a.m.
Breakfast. When?
Oh, and I'm missing the highlight. Our own deputy director, Joanne, who you never get tired of hearing from, is going to be doing the presentation that morning. Yeah. So you got that to look for. That's enough to come right on itself. But you know, is the breakfast, I assume, before, right?
That'll be it's after.
Is it after?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get you some coffee.
When we say breakfast, think more continental.
Yes.
Muffins. Yes. No, muffins, not.
I want your expectations to be met.
Yeah.
No steak and eggs.
Yeah, no steak and eggs, just a muffin.
8:30 is when breakfast is served.
There you go. And then the other thing I wanted to highlight, and this is just put on your calendar, and I really want everybody to consider being there. On October 1st at Irvine Regional Park, we're going to celebrate the 125th anniversary of the park itself. It's the oldest county park in California. It actually predates the National Park.
What date?
October 1st.
October 1st.
And so we'll of course hit you up with more information, but I just want to make sure we get that on the calendar. It's a big deal for our department. You know, about every 25 years we celebrate. Last time that we were out there on site celebrating was the 100th anniversary, and so just had a brief meeting today with members of the Irvine family, and hopefully we'll have some folks out there that we can thank, you know, for the gift that was given to the county 125 years ago. So, you know, this is my pitch to see if we can get you guys out there. It's going to be a lot of activities in the park. We'll have, you know, a celebration in the morning, but we'll also have activities throughout the day. We're going to have bands out there, so it's just going to be a pretty big deal.
All right.
So. In addition, the other thing that I wanted to bring up was the concerts and movies. We had a chance to briefly chat with the chair a few minutes ago. We're off to a record. We had record numbers last year, and we're off to a record start like this year. And I'm afraid to look at my phone. I saw a text from Krista Bergstrom, which I don't even want to look at because we've been having such good attendance and closing parks, which means every single parking space has been full. We've had that at 3 out of the 4 events we've done so far this year. We've closed the park. So that's sort of unprecedented territory. We did it at Encanto, the movie, which is one of the first times we've closed a park for a movie night. So if we're going to start closing parks for movie nights, it's going to be a different experience for us. Joanne, you were there, I think it closed an hour and 15 minutes before the movie started.
Wow.
So, we had thousands, multiple thousands of people out for a movie. Typically, we would have 1,000 or less.
And this isn't something to where you're like, hey, let's start setting up over here and bussing people in, because the amount of parking really dictates the amount of people that show up, and you can really only have X amount of people that show up. So it's not like you could bring in another 500 people, and then the venue would be too impacted.
Yeah, it depends.
That's fair.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I mean, one of the things that we have done in the past is at some venues, like for instance at Salt Creek, we set up the parking lot over the Strands, and we like bring people over in a shuttle. Right, because the venue can hold that many people. But for instance, we've talked about Donovan Frankyard. When he plays down there, which we don't do anymore, we end up getting, you know, more people than can fit in the venue. It's fantastic as long as you don't have to like live near there maybe walking is. But we do kind of, we're mindful of that a little bit, and we may, as we go forward with this series, maybe our staff needs to recalibrate a little bit. What we do is we do put a lot of attention into what bands go where and whether they're right size for the location. And if we're going to start getting these type of crowds, we have parking plans and contingencies, and we work with the local jurisdictions to make sure they know. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see as we go through the year. And then we might get a chance next month to see firsthand what that looks like at Miles Square. Miles Square has a lot of parking, and if we ever get to the point where we're closing Miles Square, we're going to see a crowd that maybe might not fit in the space that we have. So, which is, you know, exciting, in a certain way, but it is a thing. Today, the band is Yachty by Nature, and it's over at Mesa. Yeah, and so we're, did you see what Christy was saying?
It was a picture full of people.
Okay. So evidently, we're filling the Mason Park up right now, so we'll be getting calls from Irvine, from their police department shortly. But, you know, like I said, it's a good problem to have. We are continuing to serve the community in these things, and it's really great because our staff is putting in a lot of effort, as you mentioned, Commissioner Hanson. We have great people that work at OC Parks that are passionate, and it's nice to see them rewarded. And our intent is to serve the public, and yeah, if we're going to put on a show, we might as well put it on for thousands, not hundreds. You know. That's all I had. Am I missing something, Joanne?
Oh,
keep going to ask? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you should revisit the Donovan thing back in Salt Creek. Well, say we'll work with you, we'll move people if we have to. Use the high school lot, the Strands. There's a lot of places to park. We do big events in the city.
The one, it's all kidding aside, the interesting thing there is I'm not sure that the actual venue itself can hold more people. You know, the actual, like, site, there's sometimes when
it feel like it was all that crowded. I mean, it was crowded. But yeah.
You know why we put it at Craig Park, right? To see if you can come to Brantford for the first time.
I've been up there. Field trip up there.
He was there Thursday, you just didn't know, right? Yeah.
Stealth.
Yeah, exactly. But no, like I said, it's exciting. If those are our biggest problem is that we have too many people.
Yeah.
And one of the things is what we were originally looking at, you know, the anniversary event for Irvine, for instance. It's at one of the busier times of year in the park. But we were like, you know what? It once every like 25 years, we can withstand this. We're going to work to get additional parking. We're going to bring people in. And it's nice to have a festive environment. And, you know, for a short time, you know, one or two times a year, it's a good problem to have.
Very good.
So.
All right.
Thanks, Chairman. Can I ask the director if you could talk about the program from yesterday on coastal sustainability and resilience?
Yes, sure, briefly.
I can give you, the only thing I'm cautious about is
it's like 6 hours.
It's
right?
Not on the agenda, but
that's right.
So briefly,
just information.
Yeah, what we did was we're working on. We have a grant that allows us to work on the coastal resiliency up and down the coast. That's outside of OC Parks. Sort of jurisdiction, right? So what we're trying to do is get multi-agency together to work to have a plan that potentially could be implemented down the road that might help with the different issues we have with sea level rise and with the impact that has on the coastal environment. The issues that people were having that was identified by our planning and design staff was that everybody was kind of going it alone, right? They each had their own individual stretch and there wasn't a cohesive effort. So what we did was we applied for a grant that was bringing in a facilitator that is helping to put together that plan. We had a meeting yesterday. It was pretty well attended. You know, it was Supervisor Bartlett is the one that's kind of spearheading this and inviting folks to come out. We had a number of entities there. We had the Coastal Commission there, which was nice to see. We had the two of you. We had two Parks Commissioners in attendance, which was good. We had a number of elected officials from coastal communities. We had a number of people from the HOAs that were there. So it was a good representation all around. We even had a gentleman from UC Irvine. So we had some academics that were in the house. And then they were participating in
trying to find, scientists?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. They were participating in trying to find a solution. What we'll see when we get to the end is if they're, you know, they're going to propose some sort of solution, there's going to be a report that's going to come out. And I think what we're being very careful about is you know, it'll all depend on implementation and funding. Because if they do come up with a plan that is going to be kind of universal, well, it has to be permitted, it has to be funded, it has to be implemented. And, you know, all those things are, you know, as we know, those are sometimes the challenges.
And approved by the Coastal Commission.
Let's just say permits, yeah.
Who's there from Coastal?
Well, I know, I didn't catch the two names, but Danny was there, and she's the one that we work with over at the Coastal Commission. So the person that our staff works with directly on the staff was there, and there were two other individuals that you know, announced their names, but I didn't catch
them. The lady with the green tank top?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Was Carl Swing not there?
No, he was on the list that didn't show.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that I was traveling back. I just got back in time last
year.
So you
what I was impressed,
you attended.
Yeah.
So you already knew the answer to this question.
Yes. But what I was impressed with was the breakout sessions, because that's where we had, you know, small groups of people putting dots on what we thought we liked, we didn't like, or didn't care about.
Yeah.
And the conversations in those breakout groups were highly effective because there were a lot of people looking for options where they could partner with other agencies, other entities. And that's the only way we're going to make anything happen along that line.
So I've been talking to Lisa about this. So I sit on the Coastal Cities Group for mm-hmm. Cal Cities.
Right.
And there are 17 of us on that. It's every region has a representative. I'm the one from this region. And they've done a lot of work on sea level rise already. Mm-hmm. And so I asked Lisa, you should bring them in and take a look at the sea level rise, we don't duplicate the effort. A lot of it's been done. Coastal has accepted what they came up with. And so, anyway, it's just something, I don't want to get in deep into this, but there's a lot of the issue on this, is the reason it came up is Coastal's been very good at divide and conquer. Everybody's on their own, it's easy to shut you down. If we come in as a bigger group and say, you know, every region is a little bit different, so what's going to work down in South County is not what's going to work up on Central Coast because we have different topologies and there's different reasons we're there. But anyway,
yeah.
So I'm glad that went well.
So one last thing. I don't want to get into a discussion on this because I don't want to get into discussing something that's not on the agenda. But I would recommend, if you can provide us contact information for somebody you'd recommend to attend these meetings, we do have the latitude to present that and then see if we can get them in.
Yeah, I'll give you the list.
That'd be great.
Share the question.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Actually, Derek Dolph, who's the guy from Cal Cities who runs the group, he's consistent. He'd be a guy that'd be great to have.
Okay. We'll reach out before we find the next one and ask if we can get those names.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to the last section, which is the commissioner questions and comments. Anybody? Chuck?
You know what I'm going to ask you. Dogs on the beach. Can we do the pilot program? Small windows in the mornings, get them off before 10 a.m., make sure they're on leashes. Is it something that we can take a look at?
I think we knew you were going to ask that question. So what we're going to do, if you're cool with it, we should have a call with these folks, you and me, but not here, not now.
So no, in a couple weeks. That's all I wanted.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
So whatever, you'll coordinate our schedules?
Correct. And correct. Then one thing, too, I combination want to apologize and then explain. Once I found out that you were on vacation, I stopped bugging you. That is like what I chose to do was not hound you. When you told me you were in another state, I took that as a subtle leave me alone. I'm on vacation, and so I did so. So we can
he was in an altered state at a Duncan Frankenreich apartment.
So we can certainly arrange to have a conversation. We can discuss it. Okay.
I have something that yesterday, I feel that the Coastal Commission should have some opportunities already made up that they know that they would approve if this scenario, that scenario, or that scenario, or that scenario exists. It seemed really weird that we got to come up with all of these ideas again and again and again and then submit. I think it would be neat to have that entity that was there yesterday push upstream to the Coastal Commission to put some energy on them. You should have an A, B, and a C if it's like this. If it's like this, you could do this, this, and this. And to me, I think that's, we have a little bit of a bass-ackwards, very expensive time approach. And then have to plead our case of why we think it is. So if you would reference that to the folks that were there yesterday, I think that would just be good. I think that should be in that report to start to push upstream a little bit. I know that it's not an easy agency to push against. However, I think it would be worth putting on to them. And maybe there's someone new that says, you know, Northern California, so what's happening up in Northern because of how it is might work down here in this little loop. And then we'll already approve it. Okay? So that was my summary yesterday.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Michael?
Last month I attended the California Native Plant Society Orange County section picnic, and it was in Miles Square Park. So I rode my bike over. Very nice people. I snooped around the park a little bit, some places I probably shouldn't have looked. But no, it's a great place to be. And the Native Plant Society folks are fantastic, very interested in doing lots of native plant stuff all over Orange County. So
sounds like a wild bunch.
Oh yeah, they're wild and crazy. As long as they have their plant books.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Hey, I have a quick question. So you guys have a social media like Facebook and Twitter and all that. Do you guys ever promote nonprofit activities that are aligned with the mission of OC Parks, or is it strictly your own events?
Strictly our own events.
Because
yeah.
You don't want to open the can of worms for everybody asking you.
And we do get a number of requests, and we're very sensitive to keeping just to the events that we are hosting, not because we do have thousands of events in our parks that are permitted events, and we do get those requests quite a bit. And so you're right on target with our policy is just that we only promote the things that are OC Parks driven events, and we also don't. We've all signed up for social media and e-blast where you get inundated. So we're trying to be mindful when we push things out to the public, that it's about OC Parks endeavors. One thing I would add is we have a more robust staff in that area, so we're doing some more video stuff in that regard. And if you look right now, we're pushing out the ranger recruitment that we have. So we're recruiting for park rangers. That's what it is. Yeah. And I think we got a report this morning where we already have a couple hundred applicants. Wow. We're expecting about 1,200 or so when it's all said and done. And our newest staff member, one of our newest staff members, has worked to put together some series of videos that are helping with the recruitment, and so we're trying to push that out. So if you check out our social media, also if you can pass along, anybody wants to be a park ranger, now's the time to apply. And we're trying to streamline that. Your commission has heard a number of times about how long it takes. We're trying to move it to months, not years, to get this process through, and I think we're getting some headway there.
Cool.
I wanted to add one more thing, which I forgot, and if will you indulge me, just really quick.
No, I just wanted to, so you can't cross-promote Toys for Tots for the Modelers Association. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will see if there's some way that we can participate. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your last?
The other thing I forgot is that you have presents in front of you. So apologies for not explaining what that is. When we had the opening at the large mammal exhibit over at the zoo, we had some promotional items that were put together by the county that they were for sale at the event. OC Parks has reached out to our folks at CEO Real Estate. We said, hey, if you had some stuff left over, can we help you out and take it off your hands? These are a couple of the items that they had at the thing. We just wanted to make sure that you got something from that. So this is the water bottle, one of the stickers. We have some stuff that we will be able to present going forward for giveaway items for the public when we're out there, but we wanted you to have it first.
That was my 4700.
Thank you. Thank you.
Perfect. All right. With that, adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.